What's up, all you nerds and turds? It's me, it's Steve, it's Andy, it's Matt, and this is Indie's Nuts Podcast, the internet's number one indie game podcast, all about the reviews, previews, and news that you got to know all about them indie games. What's up, gentlemen? How are we doing? Andy, how are you?
I missed you guys last week.
Yeah, you both suck.
Sorry, work.
Listen.
Life.
Work.
Matt has babies.
Children.
Matt. You got
someday
puked on.
Someday they'll be older. Yep. Someday they'll be older.
Someday.
Just not do what they do as babies.
Someday they will be older. Yeah, as Envy has reminded me in the chat, it is exactly 2 months until PAX East, where we will all be together again.
Beast wow.
I booked my flight today.
Oh my God.
So I'm ready to go.
You're going
to
fly?
Really? Yeah, I'm going to fly. What are you,
I think
drunk?
Steve,
of course I'm going to fly.
Last year, he's never going to not fly again.
Yeah, absolutely.
Wait, so Andy, you're not flying, I take it?
Nah, I take it the train. I love the train ride. It's I love the scenic route, you know, it's peaceful.
What's
I can zone out.
What's the price difference there?
I guarantee you it's minimal.
Maybe like $100 or
$50. What did you pay round trip for the train?
Oh, I paid only $80 for that.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, I paid like a little over $200.
Yeah, which is round trip. Fine. I mean, it's not, you know, it's whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
It's not terrible. Anyway, what's up, everybody? How are you guys doing? It's been a while, but not for everyone. It hasn't been a while for everyone. That's a part of the Dual Screens community, because if you want to join our Patreon, you can be a part of all our bonus content that we do throughout the week, and you can hang out with us all week and talk about video games. Just go to patreon.com/dualscreens, just like our Patreon producers, Colton the Apprentice Nestler and FNH Paul. We can't continue to grow without all of your support, and it is directly because of you. Folks, we are going to be having a major upgrade in quality of our PAX East coverage. For the third year in a row, we are upgrading our stuff, and last year was a little disappointing because the microphone situation was not ideal. They were good microphones, just not good for loud spaces. But now, friends, we got the good now. Mm. So I'm looking forward to producing amazing content for you from PAX East and beyond. Hopefully, we have a lot to talk about this week, like a shit ton to talk about. And usually we go into what's new on Dual Screens. But Andy, I think I want to save what's new on Dual Screens for when we talk about your indie game adventures. What? Oh my God, we're combining it into the same thing.
Whoa.
Why don't we start with that? Andy, you played a game that is near and dear to my heart that I just got my code for today, and I will be diving in like tomorrow.
Or I don't know. I hate you both.
On my Steam Deck. It's in your library. You both. Never mind.
Not on my deck. We haven't figured that out yet. Anyway, go.
Well, oh, I don't see. Worry. It's not on your deck.
Don't worry.
Get me
all up over.
And of course,
don't worry.
As we get into Indie Game Adventures, we're going to kick everything off with Power Chord. Let's take a look. Andy, oh talk to me, baby. This is something that I did a preview of a while ago.
Power Chord is a roguelike deck builder that is Brutal Legends. In like the most simplest way of putting it. I did not play this game at PAX East last year. This was your game, your interview, your write-up. It was all you. And, you know, I got the link for a review request. I was like, you know, I'll buy it. Because the game did look fun. I did watch you play for a bit. And I'm still writing my Midnight Suns Marvel Snap card game high. So what's one more card game to the mix? And guys, it's been in my hands every night for the last like 2 or 3 weeks. I take it to bed every single night. It's just a fun game. It's a roguelike card builder like Slay the Spire, but it's a band of four musicians. You got your bassist, your drummer, your vocalist, lead guitarist, and a lot like a band, you have to play like a band. You can't just focus
everything
on
needs
one
like a synergy. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, there's that word I love so much.
Synergy.
Take a shot. So yeah, you have to really like think of it like you're playing, because you're literally playing a show on a stage.
Yeah.
Even though you're fighting demons, but you're still on the stage, dueling it out.
Oh shit, and there was the camera.
It's just like it's just a lot of fun. Like, I did a full review on the website. If you guys want to check it out, dualscreens.com for my full thoughts on the game. It is definitely a buy it. Go, 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 buy it now. if you like roguelikes, even if you don't like roguelikes or card or deck building games, it's got so much charm and it's very polished.
I don't know if you mentioned it, but like the obvious analog is Slay the Spire.
Correct. Yeah, no, you did.
Yeah, I would say, that and Monster Trainer are the two like the influence pillars of this game. But it's not trying to be like them, which is why I like it so much. Because I could just play Slay the Spire if I want to play fucking Slay the Spire. Great soundtrack. I love the art style. It's like bright, poppy, vibrant colors.
Yeah.
Is dope.
Yeah, I think that's what caught me. Like, so I played it at PAX, not for coverage, but I just ended up playing it. And the art style is so cool, man. Like, it definitely has that, like, weird, like, over-stylized Guitar Hero vibe to it. Yeah. But it's all, like, cartoony. And it's so bright and so vibrant and colorful. And
It knows.
Yeah, it knows what it is. Yeah.
Totally. Right before we went live, I actually played the demo of a game that I mentioned a couple of weeks ago, which is One Military Camp. That has a demo. That has a demo live. I was playing it in our Discord. Mikey Kirsch was actually watching me play. I had to skip the tutorial because I was having some technical issues, so I was like lost for the first 5 minutes. But it's really cool. Like it's technology research, recruit, assign people to certain jobs, train up their attributes so that they could do certain jobs, and then they have this cool. You're not just making a military camp, as you can see on the screen right now. There's a big map, and these maps have missions for your soldiers that you're creating, all their specializations, a sniper, a reconnaissance person, whatever. And you send them out on missions on this map, and you unlock portions of the map and make them part of your camp, your military, you're kind of spreading out. It's almost like Risk in that way. That part of it kind of feels like, and not in the bad way, but like a mobile game in a way, where you're kind of just like spreading out and like, okay, I'm going to build up my troops so I could do this mission, you know, and then you click it and your guys go off and do their thing and whatever. I'm trying to build up to send them off on their first mission. I only played for like 45 minutes, not even, maybe a half hour. But it's really intuitive. It's really easy to build. The characters assign themselves to certain buildings, certain training based on their attributes. So like if they're already fast and you put a fast thing down, they're going to go and try and be faster. They're going to try and train up their speed, stuff like that. So yeah, it's really cool. It's definitely a fun game. I could see myself pouring many hours into it.
Are there enemy squads as well? Like, do you know that, or is it just
it's all that part is all going to be mission based. Like your base is safe. Like it's your base. You don't have to worry about any of that. And so you're really just, it's almost like if you've played the movies before, or something like that. It's like it's your studio. It's your base, but they added this external component where you can go out and spread out and get different technologies and other buildings and stuff like that. Like if you, in the very beginning, there's a restaurant or something like that, that's in one of the green tiles, but we own it. It's our territory, but I can't utilize it yet because I don't meet the prerequisites. I need to build, food storage on the base and stuff like that so that they could utilize it. And then my troops can go there to eat, which will raise some attributes. You know, hunger is an issue that you have to deal with. Boredom is an issue you have to deal with. Like if your guys aren't assigned to something, if your soldiers or recruits aren't assigned to something, they might get bored and just like become lazy and like get negatives. And it all circles around these missions. Cause you want to pump your recruits up so that when they go on a mission, they have a higher degree of success, a higher chance of success.
That sounds like my army.
Basically,
I can do fuck all day.
Basically. Another demo that I played, I instantly wanted to play it when I saw it, but that's Extremely Powerful Capybaras.
I just love the name of this.
Yeah.
Straight out. Like I will play this based on the fact that it's called what it is called.
Yeah. It is another kite survival game. But this one has up to 4-player multiplayer. And right now, the demo, you can play this demo right now if you want. Guys, while I'm doing this, if you could just drop these links for the games from the doc, or Andy, if you could do that for the chat, if they want to follow along. It's very simple. Like, there's not a lot of powers right now in the demo. It's really just showing you the vibes, and you have four classes to pick from. I messed with two of them to start, but there's a bard, there's a like a ranger rogue type thing, there's like a shaman, and there's like the stabby guy that uses a spear. You get like one or two unique abilities per class right now. I assume it's all going to expand as the game continues, but right now it's obviously just the demo. This is probably one of those games that's going to come out early access and like keep building on it, but the big selling point is that four player. So I don't know if you could do the multiplayer in the demo. I did not try, but if you guys want to download the demo and play together, or try to play together, I think we should do that. It's pretty good. Pretty dope. Where should we move on?
It'd be
on
weird
to
not have like one of the major selling points of your game in the demo.
True. That is very true. All right. So let me go to Tape to Tape. Let's do that real quick. That one wasn't in here. So Tape to Tape. Who's going to talk to me about Tape to Tape? Which one of you is going to talk to me about it? Andy, come on, talk to me. I saw this and I want it. Like, in my hands right now.
I played it for all of 10 minutes prior to the show tonight.
That's okay.
And you know me. I don't do sports games well.
Yeah.
And I recorded it because I had to. And I'll put it on Twitter later on tonight when I get a chance. But something happened that I think is almost impossible unless I'm the one playing the sports game.
Oh, boy.
So it's a roguelike. It's like my whole life is roguelikes lately. It's a roguelike hockey game that's similar to like Slay the Spire or Power Core. Like, there's a huge map and you're branching paths. And you can you can upgrade your players with stats. Like, you gain rubber. Is that up? Do you know what that means, Steve?
The puck is made out of rubber.
There you go. Right. I was like, okay, sure. Whatever. But what happened was, I tried to score a goal, and the goalie caught the puck, right? And normally when the goalie catches the puck, you just, nearest player, pass it off, and you're done. The goalie heaved it all the way across the ice, and he fucking scored.
Oh, my God.
And I was like, oh, my God. It's like, do I suck this much at hockey or sports? Because I sat there like the shame.
Listen,
it was so deep.
It's arcade hockey. Like, that's something that audio listeners, if you're not watching the video on screen, it's arcade. It's NHL hit style.
Well, here's
hockey.
The thing. Yeah. It's still a little rough around the edges. I'll give it that.
Sure.
Doesn't handle that great, but again, it's only like the Next Fest demo, so I give it a pass for that. But it still plays like a hockey. It's like Blades of Steel rules. You know, you bump into a player, you steal the puck. There's your pass, your shoot, and your ultra move, which one is you can lob your hockey stick at a player's head.
Nice.
To knock them out. It's called a tomahawk.
Damn right it is.
So I look forward to playing more on it and do a little hands-on preview write-up for the website. But I like what I see so far. Again, a lot like Curse to Golf, another roguelike sports game. Don't care for golf at all, but I love that game. So this is kind of making me, this is the Venn diagram for, how you get Andy to play sports games. And that's how you do it. You make it not a real sports game. You do a genre blend, and I'm fine.
I'm right there with you, man.
Yeah.
It's like the whole thing that they show in the trailer is that the player keeps getting up to basically like a boss team, a team they can't beat. And so they just keep gathering resources to upgrade their players so that they could eventually beat that level and continue on their path. So,
yeah. And there's like a giant squid Cthulhu thing that I'm marching towards.
Yep.
And I'm like, okay. Yep. I'll take that.
As does happen in the NHL.
Yes, of course.
Right. Well, there is the Kraken. Yeah. Let's talk about Tiny Rogues, Mr. Sure. Enough.
I actually brought this as a steal of the week a while ago. Actually, it's been on the show before, and I dug into it then. But as we kind of hit on earlier, I got a Steam Deck recently, and so I've just been kind of installing random games. Yeah, I'm fucking so excited. I've been using it nonstop all the time. And so, like, I really dug into this game. Like, I played it probably a good, like, 20 or 30 hours, you know, since I've had my Steam Deck. And it has become so fun for me. It is a roguelike. There aren't a whole lot of synergies, Andy.
Ah, synergy. Synergies. Yes.
So this is a roguelike kind of based on, it's very Hades-esque, as there's two choices at the end of every room. You can, like, go get, like, a bomb, or there's a shop, or a key, or a weapon locker, or something like that. And it's really based on how the weapons are, as opposed to, like, the synergies that you pick up and kind of build your character. So, like, you could get a gun that shoots rainbow arrows, or, like, a gun that you could pick up a spell scroll that just, like, is, like, constantly raining down meteors. Or one of my favorites was, I had that, but it was frogs instead of fire. Like, so just, like, frogs were dropping from the sky. Oh, man, it was awesome. I love it. But so I've had a really good time jumping back through it. It has a really cool, like, very minimalistic, somewhere between NES and, like, Atari art style to it. And it has, like, that bullet hell feel that I love. You get, like, a sweet dodge. And based on your character, you could have multiple dodges. The other cool thing about it is that there's, like, pretty deep stat menu for every run that you have, and the way that you level up is by picking up one of the three stat items, which is either meat for strength, a piece of candy for intelligence, or a pear for dexterity. And as you level up, you'll pick up different upgrades. So you'll get a choice of 3 to 4 upgrades based on some skills that you can get, and picking them up also increases your stat points for the stuff that you're carrying. So stuff scales very similarly to, like, something like Elden Ring, where, oh, this weapon scales with intelligence or whatever. And so you could pick up a really good gun as, like, a, like, strength character, but it scales with intelligence. And so it's trying to make sure that you're not just ignoring the other stat points. And it does a really good job at giving you the option to, if you really want to, but also really rewards you for choosing kind of to scale your weapon correctly. The boss battles are great. The music is incredible. And yeah, I just, I'm really glad I dug back into this one. Really, 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 really fun. Tons of characters, tons of unlockables, all kinds of stuff.
An odd choice for a dexterity for the pear.
Yeah, I know. Like, candy. It's just candy for intelligence.
Yeah. It's weird. I had a very peaceful experience within my excursions this last week playing a demo for a game called Gordlets. Gordlets has a demo out now. The entire premise is you're just building a town, and the Gordlets show up and they just live their lives.
Oh my God.
They don't die. There's no timer. There's no goals. There's no missions. All you're doing is laying things down and just watching these little things do stuff.
Is it like building certain things, like, attracts them more, or just, like, build?
They're gonna show up.
So cute.
They're gonna show up. But, like, if you build houses, they'll move in and stay. Otherwise, they'll just go on the train and go home. You know, they just hang out and they just go about their day, and they're very cute, and you can't interact with them in any way. But the demo is tile light right now. Like, you can't really build too many things to interact with. It's more like houses, roads, some decor, trees, stuff like that. But as you can see in the demo or in the trailer, you could put a farm down, so then they just start farming. But there's no, like, goal for the farm. It's just to watch them do it. It's as if you, like, made an ant farm. You know, and you just, like, put shit there and you just, like, watch the ants do the thing. I can see myself and my kids playing this forever. the one thing I really hope happens, and I haven't really picked it out here yet, but I would really like a Minecraft level of crazy combinations that you could do. Like, I want to see people like some tiles in this game that like you can make really interesting stuff, like moving platforms or like something like that. Just like really have your Gordlets doing really funny and fun stuff.
Almost right have now, like a old school like marble track where it has like something all, cool, like a Rube Goldberg machine.
Yeah, or like, you know, I could set up a train that just takes them around the island, or, you know, carnival rides, or you know, a water slide, or, you know, whatever. Right now it's just like little biomes you could make, and you could just design this cute little island for them to just explore and have fun on, which is fine. I mean, it's super chill, super, super chill. Like, if chill could be any superer, I don't believe you one bit.
I don't believe you, and I don't trust you.
Let's go to the opposite here. Oh boy. Did I open this yet? I don't think I did. We'll go back to the other thing here. Matt, you dove back into a game.
Oh boy.
2018.
Yeah. What year is it? Are you from the past?
Listen. Okay. So I have this addiction with my Steam Deck now, where like I have this giant Steam library that I haven't been able to play regularly. And now I'm just like installing Steam. Yeah, it's in my hands. The power of Steam is within my hands.
Right, it makes sense.
I can sauna my face with delicious digital games. But so I reinstalled Chasm.
Yeah, you did.
So yeah. Here's the deal.
Welcome
okay.
to Chasm.
Are real you okay?
Quick, really quick follow-up, okay? A really quick intro. I watched Chasm on Kickstarter like everybody else. I saw it at PAX so many times, and every single time I was like, holy shit, this is going to be like the next thing.
Yeah,
because it looked amazing. It looked like the next big roguelike that was gonna like take over everything, and like it was so high up on my hype list for so long, and I saw it year after year. Like it like kept getting pushed back. Finally, it releases. It is way more Metroidvania than it is a roguelike, and my brain instantly turns off. I played like 15 minutes of it, and I was like, I fucking hate this. This isn't what I wanted. So, Steam Deck shows up. It's 2023. My feelings of despair and disappointment have disappeared. I reinstall this game, and I fucking love it. Mm. I am having such a good time with this. So this is just like, it is a roguelike in that like if you start over, it will generate the map differently every time, like your big Metroidvania map. But the way that it generates is it initially generates the whole map. So it's much less resource intensive than other.
The chasm is different every time.
The chasm is different every time, but it's not just a chasm. There's a chasm. There's gardens. There's a temple. There's a keep. There's all kinds of shit.
Are those within the chasm?
So there's an initial chasm.
There's a chasm.
There's an initial chasm, right? Chasm. That is the mines under your town. Chasm. Right.
It's a chasm.
And then there are all these little pockets that lead to other things. So
in the chasm,
out of the chasm,
above out. Above of the earth.
If you're in the chasm.
You're in the chasm.
You're in the chasm.
Here I am. I'm in the chasm.
You run all the way to the right side of the chasm.
All the way to the right. Yeah. Still in the dirt.
You're still in the chasm. In the chasm right now.
Right.
You run all the way to the right.
All the way to the right.
You're like, holy shit, there's a weird door here.
A door. Okay.
Yeah. And you're like, what the fuck is this? Where does this go?
Does it go
And then
up?
You pop. No.
Oh, weird.
Not necessarily.
So technically.
And then you pop out.
Okay.
You pop out, you're in like fucking lush jungle.
Weird. So it's like a weird. Portal.
It's like a portal. It's weird.
Wow.
Did not expect that from the chasm.
That is plot twist.
But like, I don't remember loving the pixel art as much as I do.
I remember Andy did not like this game.
I've looked it up, and I guess over time they've done a lot of work on not just the game itself and like updating the game, but updating the art. And like the parallax scrolling that happens is really beautiful in all of the different sections of the game. But as like a Metroidvania, it's actually a really good, solid Metroidvania. There's a lot of different areas that you go back to after you get certain items. There is like a weird Diablo-like loot system where like you could get like an axe by killing an enemy, but then like you could kill an enemy and get a super upgraded version of that axe. And so there's like some weird grindy parts there. And then you have a bunch of stats that all your gear also affects. But yeah, I had a really good time like jumping back through it. I do agree with Andy. We were talking about this a couple days ago, and that like there's definitely like a like when you play Metroid, right? Like the preeminent Metroidvania game, or Castlevania, mm-hmm. it has like a lot of soul to it. There's yes. a soul there, and there's like something really tangible about those ideas. And there is a little bit of that lacking here, where like the story is, you're like a recruit for this army that is protecting this mining town. Some shit's been coming out of the mine. Turns out that this like world eater god is going to come through a portal and is going to try to eat your world.
It's always the world eaters, man.
Yeah. Big bad. And
fucking Galactus over here.
Yeah. And like, so the generic kind of blanket yeah. story, you know, like the ruins to hero story and all that stuff really doesn't do anything. It's not particularly moving. The writing is pretty good. Like all the, you find journals that kind of explain the story, and the writing's pretty good. But yeah, I don't know. I've had a really good time jumping back into this game. And I think that for people who were disappointed upon its initial release, I would say maybe dive back in now that that hype has faded, because mm-hmm. what you'll find is like a well-maintained, just pretty fun, like very fun. The combat's great. Metroidvania with some kick-ass music.
Hey Matt, do me a favor.
No.
Why don't you pick up Dwarf like 10 years from now and let me know if it changes your mind.
I'll do that. I wanted to like it so bad, Andy.
You did say something that I think is a problem, and I don't know where the switch went off, but like there was a time where environmental storytelling through journal entries and like stuff that you could read and pick up, that like I remember audio vlogs were huge in Dead Space, which it, you know, speaking of, is we got the new
can't
one
wait for that. I can't tomorrow, wait to not have right? not be able to talk about that next week.
Yeah,
that's what the pre-show's for.
But
bro.
Like there was yeah, all fair. There was all that stuff pre-show you could get on patreon.com/dualscreens, $3. Yeah, it. I think that when I feel like it's being leaned on a little too much for the storytelling now, where the primary driver, your primary presentation of your story, like you had mentioned, is very cookie cutter and generic, but all the interesting stuff is in the other stuff. It's yeah. like, I feel like there's a problem there. Like there's,
there's this like guy that you find in the mines who's like very clearly like a 1920s explorer. He has like the, you know, like the exploring hat and everything. And he'll like explain to you what's going on, but like the depth of the lore and like why it's happening and all that stuff really doesn't get explained to you. Like you're saying, like it does, it exists in just these, pickups. It's not really laid out for you.
Right.
But another game that had that problem that I discussed this with somebody else is Elden Ring. Elden Ring, the lore in Elden Ring is like super deep. Dark Souls actually has that problem too, but you really need to dig to find any of it. Like it's not particularly surface level.
I think Elden Ring does a little better, a little bit of a better job than the typical in that genre at least giving you something interesting to continue following.
Right.
Like I felt like Bloodborne was nothing for hours. It wasn't until you clear like the first map and go to the woman that sits on the stairs, like before you get anything like, okay, this is what's happening. It was more like
no exposition.
There's just like knock on the door. There's somebody talks to you at a door and you're like, what the fuck? All right, whatever.
It's like the least esoteric from software.
Yeah, exactly. Like, and it's still weird, but
like, you know, I can't explain all the lore points and all of the motivations of characters, but I can give you a sense of what Elden Ring is about.
Yeah.
Bloodborne, I'm like, oh, fucking, there's a space spider and
there's this happens like, once a whatever many times everybody's
something
about to
kill something you. About babies or not
and
having
eyes is eyes and you know they have to grow eyeballs and you have to
are you born in blood or are you I don't
is
know.
It have
and
you been
a blood curse
blood,
a blood healing Yharnam
the weapons are cool though
yeah
those dank Yharnam nugs speaking
shotgun,
of
shotgun parries all day
speaking of things that are ruin
Oh,
Lone Ruin. Oh, talk man. About this bad boy.
Guys, This is an odd one. This is an odd one to talk about.
Tell me why.
Again, I don't know if it's by design or destiny. I just keep playing roguelikes all day, every day for my entire life till I die.
They're everywhere,
Which is, I think, why, as a sidebar, why I kind of liked Forspoken, because it wasn't a roguelike game.
You're like, oh my god, she's talking. So it's so terrible, but so she's that. Talking.
So there's that. Lone Ruin is a roguelike. And when you play a roguelike, you expect to get your ass kicked a lot, and you keep coming back for more, and you get better and better at the game. You understand the synergies as you play. Matt's like,
synergy!
But I beat this game in like 5 minutes.
Yeah, I remember Andy telling me that he got a copy, and I was like, oh, cool, yeah, I've had my eye on that game. And then like literally like 5 to 10 minutes later, he was like, I beat it the first time.
I beat it on my first run of the game. So
like, oh, okay.
So you play as some nameless mage. There's like world ending shit's happening. You have to go in this ruin to like stop this ancient evil, because you know you're like the chosen mage. And you go in and you pick like between one of like 8 different spells. There's like a fireball spell. There's like a melee spell. There's like this chain lightning spell. You pick one. That's like your main core spell for the whole game. And you can buy like upgrades, or like, you know, it does like poison damage, or now it does like, it spreads out more damage. It's like there's different augments as you play. But I swear to God, I started playing. I picked chain lightning, because you can demo all the abilities before you pick one and go into the main dungeon. It was like I was a toaster in the bathtub. Everything was everything just died, and I was like, why is this so fucking easy? I was like, no hitting bosses, like I should record this whole experience. But I was like, hey Matt, yeah, it's okay, but I'm done with it. Like, I played it, beat it. Like, and I went back for more to play around with the other abilities and spells, and but it's 21 rooms, it's 3 bosses, and it's like, this is like Steven's It Was So Close award moment, because there's a lot of potential. It has like beautiful sprites on top of a 3D rendered environment. It's got a funky soundtrack. Awesome. Funky soundtrack.
Now, I know like, that this game also has like a Vampire Survivors like
it
mode.
Does. It does. I think
did you
that's
play any
like,
of that?
I did. And again, it was fun. But then other games came that, you know, have more than 3 bosses to fight. And I was like, I'm just going to go play these instead. I think it just needs more stuff.
Mm.
Like, and the dev and I spoke on Twitter. I want to get him on the show next week to talk about the game post-release, because it kind of got like mixed reviews, and he knows why. He's like a little stressed about that. So,
That'd be a good conversation.
That should make for a fun conversation. So yeah. I kind of say, you know, where do you think things didn't go well? Like, because this guy made also Hell Is Other Demons, another amazing roguelike that came out. Steven, one of our first interviews at PAX East 4 years ago was this game. He was like, oh my god, 4 years. But yeah, again,
oh yeah, I remember that. Oh my god. Yeah.
So again, yeah. Like I went in thinking like this is a great fucking game. Because our good friends over at 61 Indies, they praised it. I was like, okay, if they love it, those guys know they know good games. And I was like,
boy, were you wrong?
Yeah, I'll play it. It's good, but it's just it was so short, and I was like, why is this?
I mean, I think the point is to play it over and over again, right?
But even at that, though, right?
Even playing it over and over and over again. Not that I'm saying this is a bad roguelike, because I haven't been able to put any time into it. But like something like Isaac or Hades, there are like layers, right? Like it's like an onion, and there are layers to it that you kind of unravel the more that you play it, right? Whether it be learning more about the weapons or unlocking different bosses, unlocking different rooms, unlocking different synergies.
It surprises you very often, a game like Isaac.
Yeah.
And this seems like it's pretty cut and dry what it is right out of the gate.
This feels like old school NES game philosophy. Sit down, Saturday morning, bowl of cereal, beat a video game, go play outside.
Yeah, okay.
Like, I beat Mario World again just in 3 hours, just for fun. Like, I was just like, oh, beat Mario World. Yeah, listen, like, all right, you know, done.
You know, I felt like I was settling in for the day. Like, okay, here we go. I'm going to get my little cup of coffee. I'm going to fire up the game. I'm going to play it all day long, get some good thoughts, talk about it on the show, maybe do a review for it or some, you know, YouTube-y stuff. But I was just like, it's done. It's over. There's credits. I've taken longer shits than this. What is happening?
I can't wait to hear this guy have like an anxiety attack live on air.
Well, I tell him, what have you? I've taken longer shits than your game, sir.
It's not the size that counts. All right. So let's get into our indie steal of the week. And I saw this game and I fell in love with it. And it's $5. And so you should all play it. And it is Panda Punch.
This looks so good.
It's so adorable.
I love it.
It says there's a demo, but it doesn't show up. Only to buy, but whatever. It's $5. This is a action platformer. It has a little bit of puzzle elements to, you know, solving some of the platforming and whatnot. But you are a panda, a red panda, for that matter. That's more accurate, as it is accurate. And you have a giant mechanized arm and you punch the shit out of things. You could see it on the screen. You could use it as like a pogo stick for platforming. It's got a little bit of all of your 32-bit games in here. Like, it reminded me of like Decap Attack.
I played so much Decap Attack back
then. Yeah, like that's what it reminds me of. Like, that's exactly what it reminds me of. And or like Vector Man, like shit like that. But it's fun. It's cute. It's $5. You can't really go wrong for $5. Came out in December recently. So yeah, that's the steal of the week there.
That's pretty.
The thing I remember the most about Decap Attack specifically is how terrible all the sound effects were. They were all like really early Genesis shitty sound effects. Like when you got hit, it would like echo a little bit. Fucking losing your head and shit. Yeah, that game was great, man. Underrated class. That's an underrated classic.
That was good times.
All right, so we got some things that I want to put on everybody's radar real quick. We'll get some thoughts, and then we'll get into the news. We have six games here in the Indie Game Watch. This actually has a demo. I did not see that it had a demo, so I will download the demo after the show. And it's called Eldorand. This game looks absolutely incredible. let's see, what do we got here? It's an RPG. It's a side-scrolling action RPG, Metroidvania. Look at it. Just look at the screen right now. If you're a video viewer, whatever, you should check it out. But it looks really cool. Put that on your radar, Eldorand.
It's like that game Chasm, but with a soul.
Oh, well, right. At least it appears to have one. Yes.
It's a Chasm-like.
It's just like out really soon too.
Less than a month, I think. Three weeks.
And can I announce?
You can.
Future guest of the show.
Future guest of the show. Speaking of future guests of the show on our Indie Game Watch, we also have one that was brought to our attention from one Miss Sunny Rads, our writer over on Dual Screens. Paleo Pines. This game looks freaking awesome. It is a freaking farming whatever sim game with dinos.
Oh my god,
come on.
This looks adorable.
Jurassic Park and Stardew Valley,
come on. Look at this game. You get to ride on dinos, farm, build things, craft things, feed your dinos an apple. It is just so dang cute. This is a game that is going to do, as long as it delivers on its promises, and it says it's coming soon, if it delivers on what it's promising, this is going to be a huge game. I promise you, this is going to be big. So put that on there on your wish list if you're interested in those types of games. Another game that I saw that looks really freaking cool is Volley Pals. This is coming Q2 of this year. This looks absolutely chaotic. It is volleyball but with kind of Saturday morning cartoon graphics. It looks like you get four of your friends. Some of the levels are you're upside down. You're just hitting this ball all over the damn place. You could build your own court.
This feels like a ridiculous game night.
Yeah, this is like a game night with your friends, do crazy stuff, type game. This looks like it was made for Cartoon Network. Like, that's what this looks like to me. So put that on your wish list if that's something you're interested in as well. Another game that came across my Twitter feed a while ago was Enenra. This is a hack and slash game that looks fucking awesome. This looks like Metal Gear Rising. And the fact that indie studios can make games that look like this and function like this is just blows my mind. But this is a fully 3D, crazy fast action set in like a distant future tech. You know, you got your sword and you're slicing dudes up and whatnot. If you follow the dev on Twitter, they show a lot of the stuff that they're working on. So you could see if you could scroll all the way back and see the game literally being made through Twitter. It's really cool.
But
looking
like
at
that.
This action, like, this looks so freaking cool. Metal Gear Rising vibes.
You may say something.
Two things.
Thing one.
It's a blink and you might miss it moment. This game was in our showcase last year.
Mm-hmm.
And number two, the dev is, I believe, former Ninja Theory.
That makes sense.
So
was this one of the games that we didn't get much of, or we got it late and we put it at?
He had no real trailer to do. It was
Okay.
Raw gameplay.
I got you. Yeah. So we put it at the end, right?
Also, future guest of the show.
Yeah, of course. Sick. But yeah, this game looks fucking phenomenal, and I want it in my veins right now. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Speaking of in my veins, you know me, and you know my deck builders.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
You have my attention.
Maho Kenshi. Maho Kenshi.
Oh, I've seen people play this on YouTube.
This looks really good.
This came out 2 days ago.
Yep.
It has its 10% off launch sale here. It's just over $20, $22.50. This game looks dope. It looks kind of like a board game meets card deck builder.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And I don't know much about it.
It's like
but
deck
it's
builder
on,
tactics.
Pretty yeah, much. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's on my radar. Something that I want to get into. And I would love to have them on the show as well. Developers Game Source Studio, turn-based tactical RPG strategy game, deck builder. What? Say what?
A lot of stuff you just said.
It's a lot of words, a lot of buzzwords. Man. And the final game I want to bring to you is Cat Tortoise. No, it's like Cat Tortoise.
Catois?
Cat Tortoise. You are a cat tortoise. Half cat. Half tortoise. You have portals.
Steven, what is this?
And you get to explore and do puzzle things. Physics.
Oh, Steven.
Look at it. Look
Steven,
at it.
This game. Steven.
Yes.
You have a job.
I have a job.
This game also came out 2 days ago. No reviews. Buy it and review it. $6.
Yeah.
Buy it and review it for Steam.
Yeah. Okay. mundane chores. You get to do laundry.
Guys. Guys, it has 25 levels plus 2 boss fights.
Sick.
That's
right.
One less boss fight than Lone
One
Ruin.
Of the boss fights is putting your laundry away.
I don't think I'm the one that should be doing this because it's going to take me forever. Because you know me and my puzzles. I'm terrible.
I'll do it.
Cat horse. It sounds like I'm saying cat horse, but it's cat horse. He's got a shell, man. Look at him. He's so freaking cute.
It's Katois.
No, it's not. It can't
be. It is. There's no R there.
But it's tortoise.
But it doesn't say Katortoise.
No, it's Katois. But the end of the word tortoise is O-I-S-E. Right? Yeah.
Katois?
my brain hurts so much.
Like, if you, I feel if like you're putting extra letters in there, my friend.
No, if you take the end of the word tortoise,
it's Quizlix.
It's O-I-S-E. And you just, instead of tort, it's cat. So it's cat horse. Tortoise. Cat horse.
No.
I'm not wrong. I'm not wrong.
Yeah, all right. All right. And You're probably right.
Get the developers right, on, yeah. And you're going to feel real stupid.
Settle this.
You're going to feel real stupid, okay?
Catois.
See, I did say it was catois.
Catois? I don't believe that.
It's
definitely not catois. It is definitely not catois.
Actually, you know what? I'm on team catois now.
Anyway,
let's get into some news. The next SteamWorld game was announced. SteamWorld Build was announced. And SteamWorld has a really good reputation, and this game does not disappoint in its hype. So yeah, you're creating a mining town, and it's a sim, you know, town builder type game. I love those types of games. Check that one out. I don't know when it's coming out. I don't know if they 2023. So yeah, PC and consoles.
Can I say one quick thing about that announcement, Steven?
Yeah.
This is again, I love this franchise. It's a very oddly enduring IP. There's like a lot of SteamWorld stuff.
Mm-hmm. It's got a lot of charm.
I'm happy because it's a great little franchise. And to see it like expand into new and different genres.
It kind of reminds me of Oddworld in that way.
Sure. Yeah.
Where like it has a certain level of charm, and people recognize it enough, and it has a fan base enough attached to it that they can keep doing stuff like this.
Yeah,
love it.
100%. We also have news for Cult of the Lamb.
Oh my god. Yes.
Andy, why don't you tell us about this one?
Get ready to eat more poop. Let's take a look at Cult of the Lamb.
New update coming. Eat shit.
Yeah.
And die, which is like
this is their first free major content update.
They just had a smaller one.
Yeah.
Yes. Relics of the Old Faith is coming early 2023. First free major update will add combat, dungeons, end game content.
Very important.
Secrets.
Yep. Ooh.
As it has been written, so it shall be. What is that there? A little crystal ball thing?
Yes.
Okay. I'm very excited for this.
God, I think that's just the end of the sentence is so it shall be.
Yes.
So it shall be balls.
Crystal ball. Listen. The end game in Cult of the Lamb was the problem in Cult of the Lamb. Like that it was once you were done, I was like, all right, I'm done. Like
I would also argue that the combat was the problem.
I was going to say that is the most intriguing thing about this list. Dungeons
It's like, what are they going to change?
Weren't really a problem.
Nope.
End game is give or take. I think there's plenty of meat in that game to not be that upset about the end game stuff. Secrets, fine. I'm okay with that. But the combat was very like,
it was very cookie cutter.
I didn't mind the combat, but I think that was because like the combat wasn't the part that was the driving me. Like it was getting back to the town and doing all that stuff.
But I think that's
feed more poop to your
people. I think that's the dichotomy of that game, right? Is that there are two types of people who are playing that game, and there are dungeon delving people. Mm-hmm. Not that you're not that type of person, and there are community building people.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they did very good servicing the community building people. That they did like a pretty serviceable job throwing some dungeon delving on top of that. And I think that for them to update the combat post release is going to be huge for the latter of.
I want the skill or whatever tree to be double. That's what I want. I want more of that to unlock.
If we delve into some later tweets here, they mentioned that there's heavy attacks.
Okay.
So that's going to add some depth. And also, this is the first of two planned updates this year, the second of which is focused entirely on the cult management aspect.
Mm-hmm. There you go. So
it's like we're going to focus on the dungeon crawly bit first and then on the poop feeding bit after.
Smart.
Love it.
Smart.
Farts.
Couple of announcements to go over, and then we will get into a Kickstarter of the week, which I don't have one. So I looked
really hard.
Yeah, well, there wasn't much to talk about. So then we'll switch to the chat. Queue up your questions because these stories are going to be pretty quick.
In here. Yep.
This one comes from, it was a press release on January 17th. Evil Never Sleeps. Remnant from the Ashes is coming to Nintendo Switch, ladies and gentlemen. So, that is a really dope game. Souls-like shooty game. So yeah, you could get it digitally or physically, coming out. I don't think they gave a date for it, but they, I'm not sure. I think they just said spring, but I'm not 100% sure. So don't quote me on that. It's not in their initial paragraph, which is all I copied for our doc, but, what
it's
else?
The game I've always wanted to dive into, by the way. And I just never have kind of taken the full dive in.
Yeah. I tried playing it when I had the old laptop and it mm-hmm. didn't run very well. So maybe I'll give it a try on my PC now, just see how it is. And I liked it. I remember liking what I played, but it just didn't run very well on my yep. rig. Then we got Coffee Talk episode 2 has been announced, Hibiscus and Butterfly. It's the sequel, to, I can't believe this game came out in 2020. I feel like it was like yesterday, but the sequel is coming out on April, on 420 this year. It's coming to Switch, PlayStation 4 and 5, Xbox One and Series X, and of course Steam. And Andy, it looks like you put a piece of news in here.
Oh, did I?
That was me.
Matt? Oh, it was Matt.
Okay. I actually just found the Kickstarter. I can share.
Okay, well, Matt, what do you got here? What did you put in this here doc for us?
So there's a game that has released called The Hidden and Unknown, and it is $2,000 legitimately on Steam. The dev, for whatever reason, decided to make that price, but the game is more like a visual novel. It's over in 2 hours, and you can then ask for a refund. So I thought this was way wacky. I dug a little bit more into this game, and it turns out that it gets a little crazier because this like game starts with an 8-minute unskippable text crawl that is like advocating like men's rights activists BS.
What?
Yeah. And so I was reading a little bit. I was reading an article on Kotaku about it, and like they were talking to the dev, and the dev said like, yeah, it like kind of mirrors my life a little bit. It's like this kid is going to get bullied and stuff, and I don't know. I thought this was like way interesting because of A, the price, and then just like it's priced like that. Why, and then just like what it actually is pretty wild.
Like that would be a really cool social experiment to just be like, let's see who just decides this was worth it and leaves their $2,000 in our hand.
Yeah.
Right. Who doesn't get the refund?
Like who doesn't ask for a refund? And you would have to clear that up with Steam, right? Like, cause Steam is the one that's is like your fucking middleman there. Like they have
to be a developer.
Yeah. Right. Like you have to clear that with Steam.
I have no idea. I don't know how price setting works or anything. I think it's wild that there's a game that is on Steam for $2,000 legitimately. Like I remember seeing it, like it came up, maybe on like a fucking just store page or something like that. Like I was browsing Steam and I saw the price and I thought it was like a mistake. And then I saw this news article and I was like, holy shit, that's like legit. It's real.
Yeah. Andy, can you drop that link so I could put the visuals up for the Kickstarter of the week?
Oh yeah, sure. Give me 1 second. I'm gonna
chat. If you have any questions, now would be the time to drop them in. Anything you want to talk about or us to talk about? We have a few minutes left here.
FNH Paul's on the tip.
Patreon producer FNH Paul cannot continue to grow without your support. Thank you so much, Paul. Stickers should be out by the
Paul,
way.
I miss
Andy's working.
Paul, I miss and love you.
So.
Also, congratulations.
Where the hell is it?
This Kickstarter I just found, I came across 5 seconds ago, is the reason why, children, if I had a lot of money,
is the reason why
I would just go around funding people's dreams.
Ninja Peggy.
Because this game, I'm going to read some snippets off the Kickstarter campaign. It is called Ninja Pig. It's a platformer game with guinea pigs. It is a 2D platformer game where you play a guinea pig who need to overcome obstacles and enemies to live on its own. So clearly off the bat, just so you guys know, I am the lead writer all the grammar errors present in this intro sentence is totally me.
Here it is. Got it.
But I scroll down a little bit, and under the why I do this section, this person writes, "This project is important to me because I never release a game, even if I made several. The Kickstarter could really help me with financial part, so I could 100% into it. I also love guinea pigs. Unfortunately, one of mine's died last year, so the game could honor her. Holy shit, I want to give this guy money. Like, make your guinea pig game, grieve properly."
That is the longest opening text ever.
Also, can I say one other thing? Is the goal $5,129. Mm-hmm. Where does that figure even come from?
I don't know, but they have
like somebody's got some medical bills.
Like, can we get like some cents in there? Like, and 38 cents. Like, I would have loved to have seen that, but it is the preciseness
from
of
France.
I gotta find this person on Twitter and be like,
survive on your own.
I mean, you
explore, avoid traps.
Enemies are avocados.
Yeah, I think they're poisonous to guinea pigs, aren't they?
The last boss is a giant avo toast.
Fucking toast. This actually does not look bad at all.
No,
like
clearly,
this looks totally competent.
I mean, I'm thinking a kid's making this game, which, you know.
Yeah.
I will
it
tell
looks
you
like
this.
Something that you could make in like one of those
like a game maker.
Make your own.
Sorry,
platformer
he's
game.
In not a kid. He's an electronic and computing science engineer. Definitely not a child.
You look at you could tell that this is a junior effort into, because of like the floatiness and the way it controls. But like, this is not terrible. Like this looks fully like
no, it's endearing as fuck. That's why I was like, throw it on. Here.
Oh my god, what just happened? I think you just got eaten by a bird or something.
I love that, like, the game, so, like, the rewards, it says, a copy of the game will be given to you, parentheses, like a Steam key or something. Like a Steam key. Also, if you pay $100...
You could fight the avocados, by
the way. No, if you pay $50, he'll give you a copy of the sprites used to make the guinea pig animations.
That's actually kind of cool.
That's pretty cool.
Gotta love it.
Wow.
But again, the universe, hear me out, I would fund people's dreams. Make me win the lottery.
So the name...
That's all I'm saying.
G-Ninja Pig.
Yeah.
Wait, is the G silent?
I don't know.
It's like guinea pig.
Yeah, but
like Ninja Pig.
Says the guy that adds extra R's to words.
Yeah.
Listen, I think
about silent G's.
Cat horse. Horse. Not horse. Yeah. Or
team Catois.
Hi-Fi Rush. I didn't get to play it.
That is a lovely Catois you have.
Did you guys play Hi-Fi Rush yet? Because it's like all the rage. Everybody's talking
about it. I haven't
yet,
but I can't wait to download and play it after probably I play it.
I am a little bit in love with that game because A of all, the Xbox beside me was turned on last night for the first time in maybe almost in nearly a year. Xbox was turned on. Great new IP.
It was the summer.
This is like Shinji Mikami. This is Resident Evil guy. This is like Evil Within guy.
Yeah.
It's some funky music rhythm, you know, hacky slash game.
I'm down for that.
That is just, it's like.
If you asked me who I thought made this game, that guy would not have even entered the realm of possibility.
No, I would have given you
Suda
51. I would have said
like,
maybe Suda 51.
I could Suda 51. I could totally see
my
that.
My first thought was
absolutely.
Like, oh, did like some like Jet Set Radio DLC leak on the internet at some point? But amazing art style, amazing gameplay. It looks like you're playing a dope ass anime.
Yeah.
And the voice acting is really good.
I can't wait.
I love all these characters. The main guy is named Chai. Chai. So good.
Is his last name start with a T? The Chai T?
No, it's D. I think it's Chai D.
Chide.
Missed Chai opportunity. Chide. Missed opportunity there.
Yeah.
Missed opportunity.
No, the missed opportunity was there's a place called Vandelay Technologies.
At Vandelay Industries. Come on.
Yes.
It's
Matthew. Right
come on.
That's
it's
probably
so
on purpose,
easy.
Right?
It's right there.
And you want to be my latex salesman. Ladies and gentlemen, that's going to do it for the end of the show. That's going to do it. That's it. We're over. We finished it. We did it.
It's done.
We did it.
It has been done.
Thank you, Matt. Thank you, Andy. Thank you, listeners. Remember, please support us on Patreon, patreon.com/dualscreens. We appreciate all of your support. And we have a lot of cool content. Go check out our YouTube channel. If you're not watching this on YouTube, if you're listening to the show, go check out our YouTube channel. We have a lot of cool stuff on there going up each and every week, including the Dual Screens podcast, our interview show where we interview indie devs. Andy's been doing some solo shows. Actually, I think they were already in the can for a while, but
I have to send you one to edit after you're done.
Yeah. I wanted to announce. I'm making an executive decision because Indies Nuts podcast records on Thursdays and typically posts the video posts on Fridays. I'm moving the Dual Screens podcast release day to Monday.
Okay.
So DSP will release on Monday so that we don't, you know, release two things at the exact same time or within hours of each other anymore.
Good call.
I'm down with that.
So we're going to spread that out a little bit. So look for the Dual Screens podcast on Mondays now on all of your podcast services and all that fun stuff. YouTube.com/DualScreensTV. Thank you very much. Thank you, Andy. Thank you, Matt. Thank you, viewers and listeners. And as always, play some indies.